I'm Mara Silvers with Montana News.
This is kind of a time-consuming process.
The Sexual Assault Evidence Task Force, set up by the Attorney General last November, met for the third time in Missoula last Friday.
We make live samples on an individual basis. Each sample and each envelope is worked one at a time. Open, work it, close it, put it away. It can take a long time.
Dr. Phil Kinsey gave fellow task force members an idea of how labor-intensive and time-consuming it is to test so-called rape kits during a tour of the state crime lab. There's a backlog of 1,400 kits in Montana. The task force was set up to find ways to get them processed so victims and prosecutors can decide how to proceed.
This year, we're projected to have over 500 cases submitted. All of a sudden, there's been this giant increase, so we're really struggling right now and looking for, again, outsourcing cases to help us get out from underneath the backlog.
Kinsey says the crime lab is struggling because it doesn't have the staff or budget to deal with 1,400 kits, which is why he asked the FBI to take on testing at least 300, and the Bureau has agreed to do so.
We'll get all those kits in the queue ready to be worked in the spring of next year. And although it might not be as quickly as we would have liked it to be, it'll still be in good time in relation to our bigger project that we're working on.
That still leaves the task force with 1,100 untested kits. John Bennion, a task force member from the state attorney general's office, says the answer lies in the $2 million federal grant that the group applied for in May.
The other 1,100 will be farmed out to private laboratories. The grant money that we get will be used to fund that.
But for many task force members, thinking that testing the backlog solves the problem dangerously simplifies the issue. Robin Turner, a task force member with Montana Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence, says sexual assault survivors should have decision-making power too.
It concerns me that we have no protocol for notifying, for letting survivors know that you're even doing this. Mm-hmm. That's concerning to me, that we would do this testing without considering that. And so I'm more comfortable with more time, although I want to talk a little bit more about, I don't see the words victim anywhere in this memo.
Having a victim-centered process is crucial to many members of the task force. But Representative Kim Dudick, a task force member who represents Missoula in the Montana legislature, says funding remains the main issue.
So let's talk about the money. There's not a lot of it. This coming session, the revenues are down, and if we don't get this grant, there's a good chance that we will not have a lot of additional money like we want to do this.
With slim prospects for state funding and no news about the federal grant money the task force has applied for expected until September, they may be left with creating preventative measures to avoid future backlog.
So what I think we need to do is think what we can do outside of money. Is what are we going to do to change the laws regarding submission, regarding testing, regarding what law enforcement should do, and victim notification? Those are things that don't cost anything. And it's also something that we could probably get bipartisan support to pass.
The task force will likely meet again in October. Until then, the Attorney General's office is taking public comment through its website. From Montana Public Radio, I'm Mara Silvers.